My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there was a story of a man who one day was walking in the park and found a man's wedding ring. When he cleaned it up, he noticed that it had an inscription on it, etched on the white band was his hand holding a heart. And under the etching were these words, "I have nothing more to give." The etching of the ring and its inscription, "I have nothing more to give," could have been placed on the cross of Jesus. For on the cross, Jesus gave everything he had. He gave us his love. He gave us his life. He gave us all that one person could give to another. In St. John's Gospel, Jesus said, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And that brings us to the feast we celebrate in this final Sunday of the liturgical year, the solemnity of Christ the King. My dear brothers and sisters, Jesus is not only the King of the Jews, as Pilate wrote on the cross, but also the King of Kings. And he is the King of Kings for two reasons. First, because of who he is. And second, because of what he did. Let's look briefly at each of these reasons. First, Jesus is the King of Kings because of who he is. People sometimes call gold the king of metals. That's because the gold is popularly thought to be the most precious of all metals. And people sometimes call the lion the king of beasts. That's because the lion is popularly thought to be the noblest of all the animals. If you are old enough, music people of 1930s and 1940s sometimes called Benny Goodman the king of swing. Elvis Presley is also the king of rock and rolls. Michael Jackson, the king of pop. That's because they made rock and rolls and pop music popular in the 1950s and 60s, in the 1970s and 1980s respectively. In a similar way, my dear brothers and sisters, we call Jesus the King of all human race, for Jesus is the best, the noblest man, human being who ever lived. Near the end of his monumental work of the history of the world, the great historian Arnold Toynbee wrote a moving paragraph. And he says, I quote, "When we began this work, we found ourselves looking at a great parade of marchers. But it passed, as it passed, the marchers all fell one by one by the wayside. And now only one marcher remains growing larger and larger with each step. Still another great historian wrote by the name of Ernest Renan about Jesus, and he says, I quote, "There are human pillars that rise toward the sky and bear witness to our noble destiny. Jesus is the tallest of these pillars. In him is found all that is good and elevated us, elevated in our human nature." Saint Paul expresses much the same idea in today's second reading when he says, "Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." And so, my dear brothers and sisters, Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings because of who he is. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the noblest human being who ever lived. And this brings us to the second reason why Jesus is the King of Kings. He merits the title because of what he did. In February 1983, the slain body of Senator Ninoy Aquino lay in state at the Legislative House of Congress in the Philippines. And a week before, Ninoy was assassinated at the tarmac in Manila International Airport on that gloomy February day. He was heard saying, "Our country is worth dying for." Now he lay in the state for Filipinos to say goodbye to this brave nemesis of the dictator Ferdinand Marcos. In the long line of people viewing the steel-blooded body of Ninoy was a middle-aged woman and her little son. When the two reached the senator's body, the woman lifted her little son and said in a whisper voice, "Son, take a long look. This man died for you." What the poor mother said to her child can be said about Jesus by every mother of every child. "Son, take a long look," pointing to the body of Jesus and the crucifix. "That man died for you." And so Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings because of who he is, not only because of who he is, but also because of what he did. He died for us. He redeemed us. He reunited us with God. Saint Paul puts it this way in today's second reading. God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself through his son's sacrificial death on the cross. My dear brothers and sisters, this is what the feast of Christ the King is all about. This is what we celebrate on this final Sunday of the liturgical year. We celebrate the fact that Jesus, the King of Kings, grows larger and larger with each step in the passing parade of history. We celebrate the fact that Jesus is the King of Kings because of who he is, the Son of God, but also because of what he did. He died for us, he redeemed us, and he reunited us with God. We celebrate the fact that Jesus, the King of Kings, because he gave everything he had. For he said, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. My dear brothers and sisters, it is not enough for us to look at Jesus dying on the cross and to proclaim him as our King of Kings. It is not enough for us to look at Jesus dying on the cross and to proclaim him as our King of Kings. It is not enough for us to bow our heads and call Jesus Lord of Lords. It is not enough for us to praise Jesus on this feast. We must pick up our own cross and follow Jesus. We must follow him every day of our lives. We must follow him even to the cross itself, if that is his will. My dear brothers and sisters, if we do this, Jesus will say to us before we die what he said to the good thief before he died. Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen.